We'll call the meeting to order. It's communications. Item one, comments from the public. Any comments at this time?
I don't have any hands raised. I don't have any chats.
Okay, go ahead and let's move on to your monthly website and social media update.
So we had about the same number of hits on our website, pretty average. Tom, you did ask us, John, last meeting, we were concerned about having friends from Iran and China join us. And Tom and I talked to Cherie about that, who is our cybersecurity person. Right. She said that Tom would...
It's nothing to worry about at this time. They're just we can't determine who's randomly looking at our website. And so in this case, it could be programmers we have for another system, like our utility billing system or anything like that. So it's just there's nothing to worry about right now. We don't have an issue.
All righty.
So this is where our friends are joining us, looking at Virginia. Why more people from Virginia want to see our website than California?
There might be something similar called Virginia to our name.
Or it could just be a couple of residents who are constantly looking at the website.
Or there could be a water district in Virginia who thinks that we're doing a great job on our website and wants to mimic us.
Okay.
And then how to pay our bill, employment opportunities, the top web page views. These are very, very typical.
Go ahead.
Facebook, we had a huge decline in how many people clicked on our page, 84.8% decline. And I just think that's because we didn't have any water leaks, you know.
Facebook also had a big...
Oh, that's true.
Big problem last week.
Right.
Facebook went offline for a while.
Yep. So we went down in the month of September, probably because we didn't have a lot of things going on.
Right.
I have a question about, we have a page on Facebook that's a business page, correct?
Yeah.
And do we post anything on that other than we don't post anything on that except just information?
Information.
Okay.
Construction notices when we have those. Frequently asked questions went up. We're going to be closed on Labor Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then pretty much everything I put in the ribbon, the one that goes around on the website, I put on Facebook too. Okay. So
it's just communication and information.
Yeah. No bonfires. Yeah.
It's just outward
message, directed.
Not interact.
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll get somebody who'll go on there and say, oh, but you know, I have a leak over at, or something of that nature. And then I grab that and send it over to whatever department needs to look at it.
Okay.
And they follow up offline.
Amelia follows up on things.
Okay.
Yeah, I look at it every day. And then I just kind of hand it off.
I was pretty confident that that's how we were in, that we have not gotten involved in anything else.
Yeah, we don't go back and forth at all.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All righty. So one thing I wanted to mention, Amelia, I just got, and I'm sure everybody else will, my annual property tax bill. And there is a form that we historically have put up, and we put out information that part of your annual bill as it relates to CSD may be a deductible item. And there's a worksheet that goes along with that. So it may be between now and December, when the first payment of the bill is due, it may be time for us to look at that and kind of make that resurface as a primary item.
Okay, it's on there. It's you know, kind of buried a couple clicks down, but I'll put that back on the top page.
We do, John, we post that at tax time.
Yeah, right.
That's a tax related thing. I think we post it in January.
Yeah. Because what happened for the 2020 tax year, I mean, October 15th is the last day to file extensions. So folks should have their taxes done. Mine are done.
Right, right. Okay. Anything further on this item?
No hands raised, no chats.
Okay. Item four, Tom, the telecommunications meetings.
Basically, the state of California has released some regulations as to how we could do meetings like this going forward. And the board needs to adopt some level of a policy, right? Isn't that right, Amelia? Because of the difficulties, I'm not having it in front of me. But we want to go to the board and have them reaffirm that we want to continue to do meetings via Zoom when feasible, as a matter of reducing the spread of COVID-19. Dick Shanahan provided us and pretty much special districts statewide utilized his work to move forward with the board agenda item and just have the board move that we continue to meet via Zoom when feasible. And this board has decided to have committee meetings being done via Zoom. And at this point in time, we're still planning on doing the board meetings in person.
Okay.
Until further notice. So we need to bring something to the board so they can agree and we have some sort of formal adoption of this practice.
Right. And we continue then to reinforce kind of per the memo that it's with social distancing and with masks. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We would want to move this to the board as an agenda item to adopt.
And appears from what you were saying there too, it's probably item one on the list, right? I mean, we have to adopt it so we can actually continue to do what we're doing next week, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm really not sure if we ever formally adopted.
Yeah.
The action we kind of just.
Here it is. It says right here. Note that AB 361 does not require a board to pass a resolution authorizing meeting by teleconference under AB 361. A staff report with the required information and motion are sufficient.
Okay. So we'll just use it to reaffirm that we're going to continue to conform to this memo and keep doing what we're doing.
Right. And so we just need to take this committee needs to approve going to the board with this short memo.
Okay. I don't see any problem with that. As long as Linda concurs, we'll go ahead and recommend that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Back to the top, Amelia.
No, I don't have any comment. Oh, I do. Yes. Thank you very much for reminding me, Linda. I have a comment from the public from Richard Gears. Are you ready for that, John?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yes. I think what you're doing is a little inconsistent. In order to meet by Zoom, you're saying that it's too dangerous to meet in person. And then on the other hand, the next day, you're going to meet in person for the board meeting.
I mean, yeah, Richard, I think, well, one of the things that comes to mind is the ability to social distance. If we continue to do committee meetings in the current environment and they are done inside the conference room, I don't think there's enough room in there to facilitate that kind of protection. I think the board previously has agreed that it feels it's important for us wherever possible to continue the board meeting as a public item, but that committee meetings can continue to be in this environment in Zoom. Of course, if they decide that is not what they want to continue to do, then they can, or we can adopt something else and move to do that. But I think what this does is it serves to at least re-verify the wish of the board going forward.
It sounds to me like you've decided what you want to do, and then you're coming up with one statement one day to support doing it on Zoom, and a different statement a different day to in order to meet in person. And
I don't think we are changing anything that we have previously discussed and said that we want to do. I don't think we're doing that. I think we just have to reaffirm it based on the communication we've received on this memo.
No, I strongly disagree. One day you're saying it's too dangerous to meet in person, and the next day you're meeting in person.
Okay, well, go ahead and bring that to the meeting then. But as far as I'm concerned at this point, I mean, we've stipulated that we will continue to do the board meeting in person, and that's the only meeting we're really doing that way. And we're going to do it consistent with the guidelines of masking and social distancing.
I think you need to be concerned about your credibility, and I think you need to have some input into by Mr. Shanahan, because one day you're saying one thing, and the next day you're saying something entirely different. And in my book, that's what they call lying.
Okay, let me go on the record that I don't consider myself to be a liar. Number two, I think it's consistent with what we're doing. You certainly have the ability to be at that meeting, social distance and in a mask, and voice your concerns. Anything else?
I have no other chats and no hands raised, sir.
Okay. That's all we need to do here, correct, Tom?
Yes. Just need to, then we'll move it to the board for as a board agenda item next on the 20th.
Okay. Item five, track current issues report.
We will go ahead and start. There are two different reports, and we will start with the one that has to do with technology, the one that has to do with like everything office, and then one is just field. So Michael is going to take the field related ones.
So I'm going to run through this. The first thing is, it's kind of exciting. We're not prepared to really demonstrate today what we have done with our GIS system, but we're developing layers on a map, much like you see in Google. When you want to look at roads and traffic and stuff, we have a map of the district that we're able to pinpoint where water meters are, where all of our water pipes are, where all of our sewer infrastructure is, as well as, where new construction is going and the trails and stuff. So we're building a GIS system that we're going to be able to use. You'll see it at board meetings in the very near future as we discuss things like repairing the Granley's infrastructure next year, and what's going on with the routing of pipes and sewer infrastructure. And then moving down the list, accounts payable, accounts receivable, general ledger, our billing system, all those items are currently planned to be part of what is that we call our enterprise resource planning. And we're actually getting ready to negotiate a contract. And by the summer of 22, I believe we're going to see some upgrades in our financial system and a lot of our other systems which are integrated. And then what else do we have? Again, that includes the work order system for what Michael has going on with fixing water meters and water leaks and stuff like that. And scroll down. And then the permit system, we hope to integrate the asset management, and then the customer management system. All that is, we're trying to get a single system that allows us to address the district's financial and operational going forward. Are there any questions?
Hands raised.
Only that, not a question, pretty much a comment that, I think it's really good to continue to track this stuff this way. Kind of tells us what we've got on our plate.
I think that Ms. Butler has a question, or comment.
When we get, is there another sheet that we're going to see?
Yeah, there's another sheet that talks about all of the operations related stuff. Yeah.
Okay. At the end of both of those, I want.
Okay. And so we'll move on, since there are no comments or chats, to the field operations report. And Mr. Fritchie has had the opportunity to update these items.
Yeah, I took a look at these. The maintenance management work order system, I think that would actually be something that we would want to hopefully be able to integrate into our GIS mapping as a layer of information. I'm hoping that we can find that vendor or the current vendor that will allow us to integrate that into our GIS system, so that when we're out in the field doing repairs or maintenance, we can record those things on a tablet and be able to update that database and keep track of it on a geographic area. But the last district that I worked for, we had our asset management system directly linked to our GIS system. And so our people were able to, when they did clean sewer line or perform a repair somewhere, we're able to update that on almost a real-time basis out in the field and be able to track those things per address as needed. Let's see, and two, customer management system. This is another thing that we could track in our new GIS system. If we get a complaint or there's a kind of an issue and it's relevant enough to track, that's something that we could track per address or per tax lot or per water meter, however you'd like to track it. So that's something I'm hoping that we can integrate as well. The moving on to the network district facilities, I personally have to get a better understanding of what we have now for our facility comms, but I do agree that we absolutely need reliable and redundant communications between our infrastructure. I'm inviting firm that I worked with in the past as a SCADA integrator to meet with us and to kind of kick the tires, see what we have for our SCADA system, see where some of our vulnerabilities are. Do we want to continue with Tesco? Do we want to continue with Telstar? Those types of things. So having them come out, take a look around, I think will give us some more information about exactly what we have and maybe where we need to go. And potentially, maybe, you know, we go out for an RFP for a new SCADA integrator, because I don't believe that my staff is going to be let's see, wastewater plant warehouse. My comment, as long as the wireless continues as stable form of communication, the conduit and wire pole may not be needed. Actually, that was someone else's comment, so I had no other comment on that. Let's see, sewer lift station, PLCs, no comment on that. No comment on pump station, centralized SCADA system. I still have to learn what we have.
Right.
A reasonable comment.
Yeah.
But I know that we are looking at these. Automation. I don't need to get a good justification from staff on the size and scope of the desired changes. We'll also fold in recommendations from the integrator that I'm going to bring on site. And the lake level monitoring system, that's kind of an interesting. Apparently, we thought at one point that it was needed to be able to track the lake levels or have that automated somehow. Apparently, it sounds that we did not need to meet that threshold or comply at this time. I guess if it's not needed for any legal requirement, we should be able to track this by hand. We probably already do. The staff gauges reservoirs hopefully did not gain or drop level fast enough to warrant having to track that or having a line attached to that. Yeah, I mean, we're talking maybe an inch, you know, at most. Then I had no comment on the sewer lift station upgrades.
Okay.
Miss Butler does have a comment. Are you ready for that, John?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
As far as lake levels are concerned, I think it's something that our community has been very interested in, you know, the past couple of months. I don't know if we need a whole big system to do that, but maybe there already is this, but some way of saying at the end of the week, we're going to take the lake levels if we don't do that already?
We measure the lake almost daily.
Okay.
Or at least weekly. We have staff gauges. We go and record the levels. We know the volume of water that
and we keep trying
we believe that. Is in there. Now, granted, the people who built those systems are no longer here. And so one of the things Michael is doing, Michael is here full time now, is he's working with Solitude Lake Management to get a better idea on how to best manage the reservoirs and keep the health of the reservoirs up. Because we have a standing water system, we fill up these reservoirs every year. It's not a flow like Folsom. Water flows through it, even as low as it is today. There's still flow, but we have zero flow in our reservoirs. So as a standing body of water, we have to treat it differently. And Michael's working with Solitude to gain an understanding of how best to do that. Weed management, algae management, and then, you know, the levels themselves. And give Michael a couple months, and I think he'll have a really good handle on it.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, good.
Very excited about that. And I'm sure the community is too.
Right.
There's been a lot of conversation in the community. The weeds and the lake levels, etc.
These times are unprecedented. I mean, as far as I can tell, only once in the history have we moved water from Clementia to solve water problems, such as keeping the golf courses like we're legally required to deliver water, raw water or recycled water to the golf courses, as well as, you know, earlier, a couple months ago, we provided within the district ranch water in order to keep a crop from having to be torn up. So it's unprecedented, and it's definitely worthwhile to focus on our reservoirs and the levels and how we use them. So
as part of that, Tom, what I'd ultimately like to see us do, and I think the technology is more readily available today to do it, is to, I would like a reappraisal reservoir by reservoir of exactly what the storage capability of each really is. And I say that for two reasons. Number one, I've qualitatively, visually never been able to reconcile in my mind sometimes the actual retreat of the water, for example, in Calero at the end of a season, and how much water is really left in that reservoir. But secondly, to try and reappraise based on the nearly 50 years now of silt accumulation, how that has impacted the actual capacity of the reservoirs to hold water. You know, it may be at this point easier to do, because I'm sure we did it originally based on the holes that the operating engineers dug. And traditionally, maybe we're dropping a string in some point of it to measure what the actual depth is. But with the technology and the drones and everything that are available now, at some point, I'd really like to revisit that to find out exactly what where we are, so that as we continue to measure the levels that we're doing it with the utmost accuracy.
John, Michael has a comment to that.
Yeah, John, what you're talking about doing is there's a way to map the bottom of the reservoirs utilizing a LIDAR technology.
Yeah.
I recently did that with some sewage lagoons to see how much sludge we got in the lagoons. And so that basically they come on site with a little remote control boat, and they take hundreds of snapshots of the, it's like a sonar LIDAR type technology. So you can actually map the surface of the bottom of the reservoir, and that will give you kind of the information of what you're looking for. It wouldn't be cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get, if the board's interested, I can arrange for someone to come down and give us an estimate on that.
Well, here's what, in terms of timing, here's kind of what's in my head. If we're going to reassess our water supply in any way prior to the initiation of the serious discussions we're going to have with the county on development, and that by that I mean through the creation of the EIR and all the scoping that will be going on to approve that project, I'm really interested in starting with really accurate data. For example, if we update our water supply assessment, or if we update our integrated water master plan at some point, you know, I don't want to use 1978 data on Calero. And one of the reasons I say that, again, is not quantitative. I mean, I haven't seen anything other than a monthly staff report for years and years. But I just keep seeing, especially last year, and I'm not sure we're not done yet. When you look how far Calero retreats, it actually in the last couple of years, to me personally, has become alarming. And I know I'm not alone. I mean, other folks who visit that place on a daily basis, just like myself, have echoed the same concerns to me. And I just want to make sure that we're starting with accurate data. And I've always had in the back of my head that something ain't right. And maybe a discussion about this is what we need to do. Maybe not yet. And I'm not saying run out and get the little motorized boat right away, but I do at some point want to have this discussion.
Well, I think it's part of, and we've been talking about updating or reviving the integrated water master plan. And I think now's the time to do it with all the focus on tolerant landscaping and conservation. The things we're talking about internally with monitoring, you know, having a better system for catching water leaks proactively instead of reactively to conserve water. I think that all dovetails together. And I think an accurate measurement of our storage capacity is critical. And it's not rocket science. It's just you spend a few bucks and somebody brings out their little boat and they come back and they tell you, here you go. Here's what capacity you have, and we'll redo the map that's in the boardroom that says this is how many acre feet of storage we have.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is important when you look at it at the two benchmarks, which I guess in layman's terms are empty and full, is, you know, it does give us the ability. Like, for example, at the end of an October before it rains, to look at exactly what the water volume or the water quantity in that reservoir is, and then look at the overall water quality at that level, and then be able to make assumptions based on the fact that we're going to run another 1,000 houses through the community. What is the potential impact of the lowest point, and do we reach the dead storage capacity level? All of those things are discussions we're going to have, and like I said, just to reinforce it, I really want to make sure that we're dealing with consistent, up to date numbers in terms of what the actual storage capacity really is. Okay. So. And the other part that you mentioned, you know, about an integrated water master plan and that kind of stuff, I think that there's a lot of discussion, and you mentioned quite a bit of it. But I mean, we're having these ongoing discussions about how much recycled water we're going to have the ability to generate. And all of that's got to kind of along with the lake levels and everything else, all that data has really got to precede the actual updating of a plan. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I think we need to clean up, you know, going forward. But that's kind of where we are. And I appreciate having this discussion because it's been on my mind for quite a while.
And Linda?
Ms. Yes. Butler has comments.
Thank you, Jonna. I'm really happy to hear you put that into the mix here. I actually had some questions myself about this. There must be some allowance or place where you cut off and say, yes, the lake has this much water in it, but you can't pump it till it's dry because that's useless. And so what, how do they figure that out? How do they say, okay, we have X number of acre feet of water in this reservoir, but we can only use it down to this point?
I want to say that's a really good question, and we need to consider that as we do these measurement work, because you do hit a point. It's called dead pool.
Okay.
And you can't use the water that's remaining, and they're learning that on Lake Mead and Lake Cowell and stuff like that. Yeah. But there's not enough flow coming through the Colorado River. You
can't physically use the water.
And they can't use it. They're shutting down. They're shutting down their hydro, you know, the electrical plants because there's not enough water coming through. And so we have that. We should be able to answer that.
But I mean, we're not going to have those original numbers of the dead storage, what can't be used. Yeah. We have that in studies.
Yeah, and somewhere
right, we do.
We have that information, so we'll revise it.
Okay. Yeah, and we do in the 2010 and 2016 analyses that we did, we do use a dead storage number. And I guess like Michael just said, I think we need to quantify that number as well as the other stuff we talked about. But this is good discussion, and I'm kind of glad it's in the record, at least at this point. Anything else here?
Yeah, Ms. Butler has more.
There's a couple of things about tracking projects and issues. One is a little bit. It was off the topic of operations, et cetera. But as far as this information and this project or whatever issue is concerned about the keeping track of issues, I would like to have put this on one of these sheets, the water tracking issues.
Okay.
So I'll put that on Michael's sheet.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
So she wants to add
the integrated water master plan. She wants it to be an item, right?
An item.
Oh, right. On the communication?
Yes, absolutely.
That we start tracking.
Yeah. I was looking for something in my own computer last night and this morning, and it took me over an hour to find it. And it has to do with something I'd like to talk about. But it's so important where we started.
We need to update our numbers, our knowledge base, because everybody here hasn't been here 15 years.
Absolutely.
And it's important that we address these issues so we know what's going on, you know, from our own standpoint.
Even in light of, you know, the changes in the climate, the weather, and, you know, and what's actually going
Definitely.
On. Versus what they projected, you know, 50 years ago or 40 years ago.
So you're saying track the integrated water plan on this communication spreadsheet.
Yeah, what we're talking about. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other part, we're putting this back out quarterly.
Okay.
We
update
it. Got it.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
The other thing, we're talking a lot about communicating, you know, among ourselves. I brought this up a long time ago, but I'm still interested in finding out how we're communicating certain things to the community. For instance, we're replacing your water meter. Are they getting letters? Are we doing anything about informing people ahead of time about work that's going on?
I would assume that we do.
Yeah, we notify customers when we're going to go to their house to change out the water meter and such as that.
So it's not a surprise.
So, no, and we let them know a couple days ahead of time. Last I heard, because changing a water meter is like a 20-minute event.
I understand that.
But we do have to show up at your house, and occasionally we have to like undo your landscaping because people landscape on top of our infrastructure.
Exactly.
But we do notify the residents, and if we don't, it's a mistake. So, and
do we do it by letter, or are we sticking something on your door, or?
Yeah. I don't have the people in front of me right now, but I believe we put something on the door.
Okay. Okay, that's not enough.
No, and occasionally we'll get a complaint.
Well, that's how it's typically done for a municipal agency, like in the city or.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just giving you the facts. That's been my experience.
That may be the case. I'm just saying, for instance, in this community, people go into their house to their garage. If you put something on their front door, they're never going to see it.
Uh-huh.
That's just the way it works in here. The other thing is that I think more than a couple days is maybe a week or something along those lines. And I don't see any reason why we can't send out a letter of notification.
Well, that's going to take some staff time. Keep that in mind. That we have minimal staff, and we'll try to do that. But what I'm saying is, I'm trying to maximize my staff for things that actually need to be done on an operations basis.
Okay. Why don't we report back next month? Process.
Okay.
That way, I mean,
that would impact gap in staff as well.
Oh, totally.
Let's report back on how we do that next month.
Okay.
Okay.
And then one more quick thing. We don't have to have a big discussion here because I think the place that it should be targeted is probably finance. I'd like some kind of a systematic monthly update now on our system conversion.
Our conversion from the old meters to new meters?
No, not old meters to new meters. I meant from old computer systems to new computer systems.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ERP?
The financial system update, that's totally
right.
A major topic for us.
Okay, so just like once a month, okay, here's where we were, here's what we did, and here's where we are, you know.
Finance report. Mm-hmm. We'll have Paula add that to her finance report.
And you want that at the board meeting in the finance report?
Just somewhere. Finance probably would probably be the best place, and then probably then Paula can put it in her report that she does to the board once a month.
Okay. That's perfect, yes.
Okay.
And all right. Did you have more, Linda?
Yeah, just about the fire or the water meters. I'm sure we do it in sections, right?
And pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
We have old meters.
Right.
And as a general maintenance, we try to get the oldest meters and replace it. And then when a meter is bad, when we do billing, we see the meter's not turning.
Right.
Came across a resident yesterday who had zero usage for 3 months and replaced their meter.
Oh boy.
Now in the past, we get zero usage, we catch it right away, but there's so much transition going on over the past few months.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, we want to upgrade all of our meters so we can do active monitoring of water use and water leaks and stuff like that. And that's called, it's like artificial intelligence almost, but about 10% of our water meters today can be read, automatically.
Right.
And 90% are old school.
Mm-hmm.
So we put together a package to do a full system replacement. If the government ever says, are you looking for projects? The government might look for projects to dole out money to fund to conserve water. And so we have a project put together that if they call us, we'll say, here it is. Much like the stuff we did for Ken Cooley when we got the three projects funded, we have shovel-ready project to do a full system upgrade on our water meter monitoring system. But it's expensive, and it's 90% of our water meters are the old style. So that's a lot.
I was basically using this as the example for communicating with the community. And we're not talking about thousands of households, at this point. If you do it in sections, maybe it's 50 households.
Yeah.
So the actual amount of extra work or different work or whatever you want to call it can be monitored.
And with the finance system we're looking at right now, they have that functionality where you can draw a circle around a group of homes and then the residents need to register themselves, put in their text phone number, email. And then if we're going to go up Lago and replace 50 meters over the next month, you just draw a circle around it, and it provides notifications and stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be.
So that
you wouldn't have to send a letter, just send a text or an email.
And that's part of the system that Paula is 100% focused on right now.
Well, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah,
me too.
That'll be great. Really,
absolutely.
Yes.
We have their phone numbers.
A lot of people do. It's not everybody because it's voluntary.
Right.
The gate has all the phone numbers because they have to call people, but it's not integrated with our water system, with our billing system. Mm-hmm. But our system was designed 25 years ago and is not with the times, and that's where we're going over the next 6 to 12 months.
Will be an example for stuff will change. For other communities.
Yes, or at least catching up with those other communities.
Right. Okay, the only other thing I had in terms of tracking things is an old issue that I'm thinking maybe we could put this into a setup that's similar to the technology and the operations. And that was my request for following issues that have come up that are like the Laguna Joaquin Basin, like the coastline engineering overcharging for inspections, and I have a list of 7 things. The water treatment plant, Mello Roos, and bond measures. Where are these things? Are we done with them? Have we resolved them? That was my hope, that we could do something with this and be able to track it. We didn't come up with a good way of doing it initially, so I'm asking if we can't figure out a way to do it like the other communication.
Well, since the last meeting, Amelia has built another tag on our main webpage for FAQs, and I believe you have about 7 of them in there right now, Amelia, right?
We're going to look at that next. It's on the agenda.
Oh, it's on the agenda.
Yeah.
So,
okay, and using that as a segue, are we ready to move on here?
I guess so.
I don't.
Okay. Okay.
I have to
bring up the FAQs.
I have to bring up the FAQs, so please bear with me because I'm not on my regular computer.
Are there any questions, by the way? Any hands?
No.
Okay.
What are you looking for?
I'm just trying to get the meeting controls to come up. Which maybe if I go, where are the meeting controls?
We continue to have a little bit of technical difficulties.
I'm having to.
John, what do you see on your screen right now?
I still have the tracking sheets.
Okay.
Well, there's the meeting controls. And
here, right here, way up here.
Oh, there they are. Okay, please hold. Getting closer. And I'm gonna share. Now we're gonna go straight to the website. You can see the website now?
Yes, I got that, yes.
Right here, I've added community FAQs. And so this is exactly the information that's come from last month's pipeline.
We're working on more for this month's
schedule. Okay, tell me the questions and I still have some left over.
Right.
So.
I do have a comment on one.
Okay, speak up so that I can catch you on the microphone.
Okay, on this one regarding the $780,000 check and how it was broken out. What were, do we have information on what each one of those was for? Was it all for?
Tom?
So the $781,000.
Mm-hmm. Was it all for water plant?
No.
Okay.
It was for the money that was paid by participating developers.
Right.
For the Van Vleck spray field project. So back when we had the recycled water issue and the water board forced us to come up with an alternative of distribution of recycled water, and we entered into an agreement with Stan Van Vleck and his property, which is adjacent to our water treatment plant, our wastewater treatment plant. And we paid for easements and we paid for the infrastructure, and the landowners who owned Riverview and Lakeview at the time did not participate in paying for that. I believe it was in the range of $2 to $3 million total. Mm-hmm. And when they activated the Riverview project and they filed a final map.
Then it was their responsibility to come up with that.
They had to pay. They had to pay this reimbursement. When they filed the final map to deed Riverview Park to the RMA, that activated the demand that they make this payment.
Mm-hmm.
They made the payment. The landowners who owned Retreats and owned the residences and the gardens, they paid for that ahead of time.
Right.
So whoever owned the property today is a recipient of those funds. And in this case,
I get that.
Okay.
But there needs to be a little more clarity, I think, on why we got this money and where it went.
Okay. We'll take a look at what we have in the FAQ and add a little bit of history.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Then moving on, a little bit about Clementia. We're talking about why the water's blocked off, and it sounds like they're out there working on it, RMA, cleaning it up. So this was the addition that was asked for. I have some more questions that'll go into the pipeline and onto this page, which does make my job easier. Thank you very much for that help.
Okay.
Have anything to do with tracking projects and issues?
The okay. FAQs?
No.
Well, some of it is. Some, okay, yes. But we can get further through it.
So what's the concern?
What happened to all of these things? Are they resolved? Are they still open? Are we still working on them? Where are we at this stuff? And my own personal feeling is that, you know, it would be helpful if we tracked
okay.
and ended this.
Let's take your list, and at the next communications meeting, we'll go through them one at a time. You want to do that?
That's fine.
We can do that.
And where are we going to put the information?
Well, we'll post it as part of the communications meeting, and then if you want, well, if we think
it merits,
we'll
put it
in the FAQs.
Okay. Well, yeah. Can we not put it in this type of format?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
We can do that.
Yeah, I can put it on
but a spreadsheet. But some of it, Linda, is an answer to a question. What did we do with the overpayments for Coastlands progress as far as the gardens was built? And that is something that we would have to bring up. It's currently not a resolved issue, and we need to find a way to resolve it. It's okay. On my list of things to do.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
When I get to it.
It's just, again, it seems like we're just the facts part of it will answer some of the questions that are coming up from the community, but this is old stuff and yet it's still alive, most of it, maybe not. I just don't think that we have communicated to the community where we are on this stuff.
And some of them are in a state of hold because we don't have the resources to move forward. But now I think now that we have staff on, you know, now that we've filled really critical positions, it allows me the time to now focus on these things.
And that's fine. All I want to know, or I want to have some way of tracking what has happened with it. If
okay.
nothing's happened with it, then nothing's happened with it. We're still working on it. That's not my concern. My concern is that we keep track of it.
Okay. Yeah, we will add that to the spreadsheet, and then at some point it's resolved, and then it comes off the
spreadsheet.
That's
right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, and I apologize again. I have to switch screens. And there's a new screen.
No.
You should be able to see the agenda again, Don.
Yeah, I have it.
Let me double check if I have any chats. No chats and no hands raised. Go ahead.
Okay. So water item 6, I believe, right? Water shutoff moratorium.
The governor extended it to December 31st from September 30th. And we continue to work with our customers who aren't paying their bills. A few months ago, we began charging penalties and interest for unpaid accounts. So that's kind of motivating some people. Mm-hmm. And we actively continue to contact people to enter into pay agreements so they can get caught up. My feeling is if people aren't going to have their water shut off, maybe they feel like they're waiting until that's going to happen. So come January, February, we may be once again turning off water meters and dealing with the outcry from the public. At the same time, we are actively monitoring the programs that the state has available to people who can't afford to make their payments. And it's not such a huge problem here in Rancho Marietta as it is, for instance, in Rancho Cordova, but it is an issue, and renters especially have an easy way to get their bills caught up. Although we don't have a ton of renters here at Rancho Marietta, but we do have some. And if they're a renter and they don't have their bill caught up, you know, we're in the process of contacting them and letting them know what services are available. And of course, January, February, when we start shutting off water meters, people will figure out how to pay their bills, I would think. I'll put something in the GM report.
And then I did put on Facebook and the website on the front page that it has been extended for the governor, so for the Senate.
And it was on the statements this month, and it was in the pipeline this month.
We've constantly tried to communicate.
Yeah. I'll have it in the October pipeline because the information hadn't come out when published in September.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, it came out after
a couple days.
Yeah, I missed it by a couple
days. But we still have it on the website. Oh,
yeah. It's on the website, it's on Facebook, and here is what it looks like.
We have gone overboard to try and communicate this information to our residents.
Yeah.
And if you don't know it, you're just not paying attention. You're right under a rock. Yeah.
Anything more on this?
No, just I picked up in the census data, just so anybody wants to use it as some kind of a benchmark. Rentals are approximately 10% of the total units in Rancho Marietta, according to the census. So just that information did pop up there. I remember reading it. Anything else on this item?
Nope.
No chats, no hands.
So we kind of did water shut off, and we kind of did update on the website and frequently asked questions, correct?
Yes.
So are we down to item 8, Amelia?
We are.
Okay. Any staff comments?
The only comment I have is the district office was closed yesterday while we did a full demonstration on a potential financial system replacement. And I appreciate the public for, you know, we notified and there nothing really occurred that where we were punished for closing the doors. So it worked out really well, and staff was able to focus on the potential replacement of our financial system, pretty all-encompassing with all our technology. So I just wanted to let this committee know that that's what happened. It went really well, so on and so forth. So thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Linda, do you have anything?
Nope.
Okay. And I have nothing as well. If there's nothing further to do here, we'll move to item 9, which is to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks.